This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God. It is another beautiful day. I thank you for tuning into Global Radio today. I have been waiting for a long time for our guest. He worked with Dr. James Maloney for 10 years. His name is Dr. John Brudian. I'm so excited to have him here today. Hi, John.
Greetings, Dr. Rome.
Oh, wonderful to get with you again.
It's been way too long. I'm really looking forward to this time together.
This is great. Today, of course, we want to hear you've been traveling to Asia and the Philippines and around. And I'd like our audience, what I'd like for them is them to hear what God is doing as you minister. It's on secular radio. Think about that. Here are people hearing the gospel, maybe for the first time. I call power evangelism. Amen?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you for Dr. Prudian. I thank you for his ministry. I thank you, Lord, for your help today that we can even connect. And we love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Rome. It is a great privilege and honor to be on here with you at the Air Force Radio. So many years you and I have known one another and kept in touch, and you had a fond affinity for my spiritual father and mentor, Dr. James Maloney, who moved in many of the gifts of the Spirit, and I had the privilege of serving him for nearly 10 years, going around the world to different meetings and seeing God really work amazing healing miracles over the years, many creative miracles. There was a gentleman that did not have a tongue. He was born without a tongue. And Dr. Maloney moved in the gift of faith, had a vision, and saw this tongue being created, and said to the young man, "I'm not going to stick my finger in your mouth. You stick your finger in your mouth, and you tell me when you feel something there that wasn't there before." He starts feeling around for a tongue because he didn't have one. I looked in his mouth. There was just nothing there. And after a while, he got a funny look on his face, and Dr. James said, "Are you now feeling something there that wasn't there before?" And then when he nodded his head in the affirmative, this brand new tongue comes out of this young man's mouth. And it's one of these just breaker miracles that broke the atmosphere open, and the level of faith in the room just exploded, and healing just became so easy after that because of the manifestation of the gift of faith. This has been one of my passions, and this is from the Lord, obviously, seeing God's goodness manifest like this, where people receive a miracle and their life's never the same, and it leads to more miracles. And so I've been on this journey of in God of this and the gift of faith and seeing God move in deep and profound ways. And, you know, sometimes we need a powerful demonstration from God to shake us out of complacency or raise the level of faith, whatever it might be. In the days of Israel, the Philistine army and Goliath were intimidating the nation of Israel, and they were scared. They didn't think they could beat them. They were intimidated, and David stood up and said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Like God is with me. We can beat these guys." You know the story. He rises up in faith, slays Goliath, cuts his head off. But and then an interesting thing happens. All of a sudden, everybody in the army that was Israelite army was scared, and they went from scared and intimidated to bold, and then they rushed the army and routed the Philistines because of one miracle that they'd witnessed. It changed everything. And I've seen this phenomenon, and the ministry of Jesus was like this. Jesus ministered in the gift of faith. You know, when he says, "Lazarus, come forth," he knows what's going to happen. And one aspect of the gift of faith that I've been exploring is that it's when God shows us something that's going to happen before it happens. David knew exactly what was going to happen. He says, "I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to cut your head off. And armies are going to rout your armies." And that's exactly what ended up happening. But he explained what was going to happen before it happened, meaning God obviously had showed him in advance exactly what was going to happen. And the same with Lazarus being raised from the dead. Jesus already knows in advance what's going to happen and that he's going to be raised from the dead. He's not in any hurry to get there. People wondering what's going on with Jesus, right? It's because God, the Father, had already showed Jesus what was going to occur. I love these kind of miracles in God that just break the atmosphere. Lazarus is dead, but Jesus knows what's going to happen before it happens. He knows Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead, so he's not in any hurry to get there. And he knows that the great miracle is going to take place because the Father had already showed him what was going to happen. So he utters those words, Lazarus, come forth, and he knows that Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead, and it's an absolutely extraordinary miracle because Lazarus had been dead for many days, and now he is coming out of this tomb all wrapped up. You know, I mean, can you imagine this scene if you were there to witness some guy that had been dead for days and is wrapped up and all of a sudden just comes out of this tomb? It's mind-blowing. So I've been on this journey with the Lord in the gift of faith. I'll never forget, I witnessed a great miracle at a healing meeting, and this miracle was so great, it broke a stronghold of unbelief off of me, enabled the life of the Spirit to begin to flow, and I saw a man, I went back to the hotel with my wife, there was a man that was trying to get through the lobby and get out the door. I think he was going to go party or something, but he had a thick jacket on because it was cold that time of year in Pennsylvania. I think it was December. I stopped him. I said, God's working miracles. We just witnessed this great miracle. And he's looking at me but he said, oh yeah, well then what's your God going to do about this? I pushed his arm back through his sleeves, big jacket, so I could see his forearm because I couldn't see it before because it was in his. And I said, that God can heal that. That's nothing. But I said that because I was so filled up because I'd witnessed the great miracle maybe an hour or so earlier. And it had changed my life witnessing that miracle. And I said, God can heal that. He had no feeling in his arm. He was 26 years old and never had any feeling in his arm. And my wife and I began to pray and another pastor and his wife. And all of a sudden, the color began to come back into his arm. And it went from this just white color where he couldn't feel anything to, you know, normal color that looks like it's got, you know, blood flowing through it. And he began to feel, and it moved further down his arm all the way into his hand. He got complete restoration back in his arm and hand that he had never had before. And he had an encounter with God. It blew him away, and he gave his life to Jesus right there in the hotel lobby. So this man didn't know God. I don't think he was interested in knowing God. He was just going out the door to have fun, I think go to a party. Now he's healed, had an encounter with God, and gives his life to Jesus. What a transformation.
My. You'll never be the same after that. Never.
Yes.
Was he born like that?
Yes, he said he'd never felt in that arm. He'd never had any feeling in his hand or arm for 26. He was 26 years old. You know, when I witnessed that miracle that night, I with Dr. James, right, the one that happened before this miracle with this 26-year-old, I said, Lord, this is it. I'll give my life for this, to see a manifestation of your love and goodness in this way. And thankfully, God arranged me to serve Dr. James Maloney and be by his side for nearly 10 years and, you know, have him mentor me and really grow in the ways of the Spirit of God. And my wife and I just got back from Asia, as you mentioned, in the Philippines, equipping people in the gifts of the Spirit. My wife did a prophetic class at Victory Churches of Asia Bible College for 1 week, and then she did a woman's conference. But it was amazing to see people that had never prophesied before begin to move in the gift of the Spirit of prophecy. And then in the class that I did, taught them on how to pray for the sick, gifts of healing, workings of miracles, some discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, gift of word knowledge, and the gift of faith. And this is new that I'm rolling out this teaching on the gift of faith. And it comes from this doctoral study. My wife and I just finished getting a doctor of ministry with Global Awakening Theological Seminary, which was a great experience for us both. As a as a result, this teaching came forth. I did a 3-year study on the gift of faith, interviewing people that have experienced the gift of faith, so that I could really put it down, what it was like, how did people receive from the Spirit and know that it was the gift of faith. And it was a really, really comprehensive study. And I interviewed people and did surveys. And so the teaching that I've rolled out on the gift of faith is based on that, because I believe it's time for every believer to step into the greater. Jesus said, greater things than me you will do together. And so it's time for the greater things, and it's time for the gift of faith. And studying revivals over the past 100 and something years, and even way farther back than that, obviously, but you notice certain themes that are present in most revivals. Things like the presence of God's very thick, there's deep repentance, there's joy, there's crying, there's this and that. There's some elements that are, you can identify in most revivals, but then there's something special that has happened in certain revivals, and I call it like a special theme. If we look at the revivals of the early 1900s with Azusa Street and all that, tongues were really a feature in that revival, even though the other elements were there, healing and the presence of God, tongues were a big emphasis. And then when we get to the revivals starting in 1947, 1948, healing is more of a feature in those revivals. Then finally, when we get to the third wave it started charismatic renewal, but then coming into third wave with, you know, the Vineyard and what God did at Toronto, you see the prophetic really emerge as a theme in the charismatic renewal movement. And the prophetic movement really takes off in the 1970s and 80s and all that. But we haven't seen the gift of faith as a theme yet. And I really believe that is coming in hopefully the next revival that worldwide, that we really see emergence of every believer stepping into the gift of faith and moving in the gift of faith operation to see those breaker miracles take place. And
that's in your new book?
Yes, the new book. So this is a sequel to the first book, was Accelerated Healing.
Okay, your first book then. Accelerated Healing. Ooh, that was a good one. I read that. Oh, the presence of God was all over that book. And your second book, Accelerated Faith. Accelerated Faith.
Accelerated Faith. It has to do with faith not only growing in our measure of faith, but also in the gift of faith, and how to step into the gift of faith, and what to recognize, and how to hear God and know that it's the gift of faith in operation, which is separate from our measure of faith. You know, Romans 12:1 says every person has a measure of faith. So it's important to grow in our metron measure of faith, but it's so important also that we walk in the gifts of the Spirit, because they're available to us and we're encouraged to walk. Paul the Apostle said to seek the gifts, right? And to walk in the gifts. And he's addressing the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 12, when he's talking about the gift of faith. And the Corinthian church at the time wasn't a super strong church. They had a lot of issues. And yet Paul's still encouraging them to walk in this gift of faith as well as the other gifts of the Spirit. So if Paul's encouraging this Corinthian church to walk in the gift of faith, I think, you know, and that word is for us as well, because that's scripture. And, you know, these gifts are for everybody, not just for apostles or pastors. You know, it's time for every believer to really be led by the Spirit of God. And so a lot of our ministry is just teaching people to hear God's voice and the gifts of the Spirit, to preach the gospel, the full gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that through his coming to the earth and his sacrifice on the cross, his blood shed for us, our sins are forgiven if we repent of our sins and plead and ask the blood of Jesus to come and pay for all of our sins. Then once we're cleansed by him, we don't come cleansed. We come needing cleansing, and he cleanses us by his sacrifice on the cross. But the good news doesn't stop there. The good news is then we become sons of God and become adopted into the kingdom of God, and we're heirs of the kingdom. And we receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit And this is the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross, so our sins could be forgiven, so that we could then receive his indwelling spirit in us. And that's, like I said earlier, Romans 8:14, the mark of sonship is being filled with the Spirit and being led by his Spirit. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you, and it's in us by the Holy Spirit. And now we enjoy God. We start with being, but the doing comes from the being. It's the being comes first, who I am in Christ. We're new creations in Christ if we've been born again from the Spirit and filled with the Spirit. So this is the good news, and this is what we tell people. This is the gospel, that you could be born again of the Spirit. Your sins could be cleansed. You can be born again of the Spirit and be filled with his Spirit and become a child of God and release the kingdom of God on this earth and live in victory over sin, live in victory in the kingdom, and administrate the kingdom. The word ministry comes from administration. And so really all of us, Dr. Rome, that love God and are filled with his Spirit are kingdom administrators. So that's the heart of our ministry, Jesus Nation, is to preach the gospel, to explain to the people the good news that they can be filled with the Spirit of God and become sons of God and be filled with his Spirit and become kingdom administrators. We're citizens of heaven now. And as citizens of heaven, we have the authority that the Lord Jesus has given us to release that is the miracles. It's the love. It's the peace. It's the joy. It's the presence. It's all of the wonderful elements of the kingdom of God that God has richly bestowed on us and shared with us. You know, God wanted a family, and he created us. We messed up. We've been a mess, but God made a way for us through the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the kingdom of God and into God's family. And it's really all about family, that we're no longer orphans trying to figure out life on our own any longer, figure out my purpose, why am I here? We no longer have to wonder about that kind of stuff, because now we're kingdom and we have a father. We're not fatherless anymore. Fatherless people do dumb things, and I lived that way for a long time. When you don't have a father, you have an orphan mentality, which is not healthy, not good at all. And dumb things proceed from an orphan heart. And God made a way so we no longer needed to live as orphans, but we become sons of the living God, which is an amazing privilege. And that's the good news that we proclaim to people.
And to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons or children of God. And then receive eternal life. Eternal life and become a child of God. And that's a wonderful realization today.
That's the good news right there, Dr. Rome. And that's what we proclaim. But it's only possible through Jesus Christ. And that's what people need to remember. There's no other way around the cross. You can't skirt the cross. We die to ourselves in the sense that we're no longer living for us and our own, trying to figure out life on our own, but we become a new creation. Paul the Apostle said, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. So we are new creations. In those of us that have repented, given our lives to Jesus and gotten filled with his Spirit, being born again from above, are a new creation. It's no longer I that lives. So Dr. Rome, I was just John before my life was given to the Lord. I was just John. I was an orphan. I had an orphan mentality. I was full of sin, doubt, all kinds of bad things. I hurt people because I had an orphan heart, because I was fatherless. I had an earthly dad who was amazing, but fatherless in the sense that I have no heavenly inheritance, right? I'm an orphan in the kingdom sense. And what I was so depressed to Jesus, I said, Lord, I've messed up my life. I need you in my life. Lord, I receive your blood as payment for my sins. Lord, forgive me. And I vow from this day forward to live for you all the days of my life and receive your Spirit and live as a new creation. So in that moment, it's no longer John that lives, John by himself, John struggling, John trying to figure things out. I am a new creation, which means the indwelling Spirit now of the living God, the Holy Spirit, lives within me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ. Christ means anointed one. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. It's Jesus, anointed one. Christ is anointed one. And he's anointed, Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And that's us now. Jesus accomplished for us on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. So now I'm not John, Dr. Rome. My true name is Christ in John. See, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. So I'm a new creation called Christ in John, which is a human being that is filled with this actual spirit of the living God. That God has chosen to put his spirit and dwell among us is absolutely amazing. And that's why the kingdom of God is within us, and the temple of God is now in us, not in a building anymore, but actually indwelling in us. And this is what's so wonderful when Christians come together, because you've got people that are filled with the Spirit. And so when two people that are a new creation come together, how much more the kingdom of God is multiplied, right?
Yes.
I'm encouraged by your faith, and vice versa. We grow in relationship with one another because we honor one another because of the Holy Spirit's presence in one another. You know, we honor one another as new creations in Christ. And it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But everything has to flow from being first. First, I'm a son of God, and he's my Father. And I enjoy him, and I live in him, and I worship him, and I give him glory. So he is who he says he is, and I am who he says I am. And that is the most important thing for every believer to establish, that he is who he says he is. He is so wonderful. He is perfect in all his ways, filled with love and grace, mercy, peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Good. That has to get established, right? And then who he says I am, an heir. I'm an heir. I'm filled with his spirit. I can release the kingdom of God wherever I go. I'm filled with his love, joy, and peace. Right, all the elements of the kingdom of God, and then the doing flows from the being. I don't do to be. I don't do stuff for God so I can be. I am, and we are, and that out of, as a result of knowing that and knowing who we are in him, then the doing flows out of that, and it flows in love, and it flows in grace and peace and in the presence of God. But the being has to come first, not the doing. The doing flows from the being. So that's very important for every believer to establish. And the doing is releasing the kingdom of God. It's the gifts. It's Paul's encouraging us. Walk in the gifts of the Spirit. Release the gifts of the Spirit. Move in the gifts of the Spirit so that you can lead other people into an encounter with God. You can be led by his voice. He says, John, go talk to that person. I've got a word for them. Dr. Rome, go pray for that person who's limping over there. I want to touch them and heal them and demonstrate my love and goodness to that person.
Yes.
And I find so often, Dr. Rome, when someone does have that encounter, they get healed, they feel the presence, they feel his peace, then it opens the door to proclaim the gospel, just like that man in the hotel lobby. Well, he got healed first, and he was receptive for me to proclaim the good news to him, and he received Jesus, and he gave his life to Jesus. But that flowed out of his encounter that he had with the Lord first. So that the healing opened the door for him to receive the good news and give his life to Jesus.
It changed the atmosphere, right? When that happened, the atmosphere changed. You know, you didn't have to have a lot of philosophy because there was a demonstration that changed the atmosphere. You can't deny that. You can argue with philosophy. But you couldn't argue what God was doing then, what he had done for him. Amen. That's quite convincing. Yes, that's what we want.
Amen. That's it.
We'd like to hear some testimonies, these atmosphere-changing testimonies, these faith-building testimonies.
We were at a meeting, Dr. Rome, doing a healing meeting. I believe this was in Montana, but I might be mixing up exactly where it was. But there was a woman who was kicked very badly by a horse and had a large piece of flesh missing from her leg And I think it included nerves and maybe bone, because she had severe pain from it. So it wasn't just like a piece of skin being gone. I mean, it was so bad that she lost, some nerves, because she was in pain. And this accident had happened, I believe, quite a long time ago. And one of the aspects of the gift of faith is when you feel the strong presence of the Lord. And that was one of the elements that I found when I was doing surveys and interviewing people in the gift of faith, is that they've experienced a rush of God's presence. Like all of a sudden his presence became very thick in that moment, and just so the atmosphere is ripe for a miracle. So I experienced this thick presence all of a sudden just came upon me, and I said, God's here. Just rub your hand back and forth over that spot where the flesh is missing. It was a big indentation. And she began to do that. She had jeans on, and she began to do that. I said, that's it. God's doing it in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. Because the presence ushered in the gift of faith operation. And as she's rubbing her leg, her leg is getting filled in with brand new flesh. So where there was this huge chunk out of her leg, all of a sudden, God just restores it with brand new flesh, and whatever nerve was damaged or missing, you know, she got a complete restoration and was able to, move, run around, didn't have any pain any longer. I mean, it was truly just an amazing miracle. That's a creative miracle, just like the tongue story that I shared, where God creates something there that wasn't there before, that was missing.
And there were people witnessed that. There were, and the people, the audience saw that.
Yeah, there was a lot of people at that healing meeting. It was a wonderful, wonderful night. But that's just one of the aspects that we found in this study, was the presence of God. People moved in the gift of faith when they felt a big surge of his presence. You know, you can feel the tangible presence of God. When you feel it, you know it's God. You know, there's just like this sometimes weightiness, and you feel like someone like pressing down on your shoulders, like you're like, oh, just like your feet become like they're stuck to the ground because of this heaviness and the presence of God. Have you ever felt that, Dr. Rome?
Oh, yes.
Right. There's no going back. I get it. Absolutely. And so that's what our ministry is about, Dr. Rome. It's JesusNation.org. If you go online, JesusNation.org. And you can sign up for our newsletter and get our emails. So it gives updates on what we're doing and what city we're in and equipping classes that we're offering. And
okay.
All that sort of fun stuff. Absolutely. But yeah, it's always good, Dr. Rome. I love being on your show. It's been way too long. I'm so glad thank you for staying in touch with me. I just really honor you and appreciate you. And thank you very much.
Okay. Beautiful time.
Oh, once my soul was astray from that heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. Oh, but my Savior,
if you would like to learn more about today's guest, Dr. John Prudian, go to his webpage, JesusNation.org. That's JesusNation.org.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.